Hello, and welcome to our Cohen Esri Apartment Investors podcast, where we talk about various topics related to real estate investing. My name is Lydia Kincaid, and I manage our market rate funds. We have Ryan Huffman, who's our Chief Operating Officer, and we also have our special guest today, Mark Fletcher, who's our Chief Technology Officer for the company. Today, we are going to talk through different AI or artificial intelligence initiatives, and even help you all as our audience understand how AI relates to real estate. I mean, I think you can't go a day without opening up your newsfeed or a newspaper and reading about some sort of ChatGPT initiative or other types of ways that companies are using AI. Well, we've got some pretty cool projects going on here at Cohen Esri that we'd like to share with you in a little bit more detail today. So to start things off, Mark, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and expand on your role here at Cohen Esri?
You bet. I've been with Cohen Esri for 15 years. As the Chief Technology Officer, I'm responsible for our infrastructure. That's like our network, telephony, hardware, all that kind of stuff. I'm also responsible for our programming and database teams. So we build a lot of custom software to kind of help set us apart. And then I also run our digital marketing team now. Usually marketing and IT, you wouldn't think of those two as going together, but that's changing over time as marketing becomes more and more technology-based. We saw a lot of overlap there. So that's part of my responsibility as well.
That's great. Thanks, Mark. So maybe we can start just talking about ChatGPT, since that seems to be, you know, still top of mind, as I mentioned before, for a lot of people. What's the big deal about it?
Sure. I mean, ChatGPT is the most important thing that's happened in the world since the internet in the 90s. That's a bold statement that I've said, but I'm not the only one that has said it. It's a significant leap forward that for a large part, people weren't entirely prepared for. When it kind of showed up in November of 2022, so just about a year ago, minds were blown universally across the planet. I mean, it provided the first consumer-level access to advanced machine learning, and it can do things like 11 months ago, 12 months ago, it could do things that people just thought, they just thought it was science fiction. And so 11 months ago, it could write verbiage, and it could have a conversation. It passed the Turing test, if you're familiar with what that is. It means that one human on the other end couldn't tell that they were talking to a machine on the other end. It's pretty significant. It could write code. 11 months ago, it could write excellent code in any programming language. It could troubleshoot errors in your code. It could troubleshoot errors on your machine. I found myself in the first 2 months of using ChatGPT, I found myself not using Google. I just went straight to ChatGPT and asked my questions there instead of Googling for that information. That was 11 months ago. Since then, listen to some of the things that have happened. ChatGPT-4 brought brains to the mix. So it could write, it could do a lot of neat things, but with GPT-4, now it could pass the bar exam, right? Like with glowing colors, it could pass the bar exam. It knows everything the internet knows, right? And unintentionally became the best ask a nurse that existed. And they had to turn it off. It was alarming. People really didn't want a machine to be able to instruct people on their medical care, but it was excellent at it until they turned it off. And then recently, in the last 6 months, it had it implemented browsing capability. Keep in mind, this is just over a 12-month period. So ChatGPT was originally trained on everything on the internet as of 2021. With GPT-4, that brought it up to about 2022. And with browsing, it could go and search the internet for you. Like you could ask it, I need up-to-date information about what to watch tonight, and it would go find what I should be watching tonight. Okay, so browsing was pretty significant. Then in the last 2 months, it implemented an upload and analysis feature. So you could take an Excel spreadsheet, a Word document, a PDF, and upload it, and then ask it to analyze that information. That's significant. It could look for errors in your spreadsheets. I tested it. It worked, right? It could scan complex legal documents, and you can ask it questions about which party is at risk in this agreement, as an example. Then, even more recently, it generated the ability to be able to create documents, Word documents, spreadsheets, PowerPoints, charts. Last week, I took the results of a complex set of surveys we conducted. I uploaded the spreadsheet and said, I need pie charts for all of these. And if you would, please output it in a PowerPoint for me. And it produced the pie charts. It understood what I was asking for without a lot of description. And it produced the PowerPoint. So that's pretty neat. But the real cool part, and again, this is just over the last 12 months, it just released the ability to see. And what that means is, up until then, it could read things, right? But it couldn't look at pictures and it couldn't look at videos. And it can now. And it's amazing. There's a famous video of a man standing on a scale and another man behind him putting his foot on the scale. It's a practical joke, right? Like it's going to make it look like that guy weighs more than he really does. If you upload that image and ask ChatGPT what's going on, it'll tell you, hey, there's a joke being played here. Like it understands. Very, very conceptual ideas. You can sketch a bunch of stick figures, and it knows those stick figures are humans. It's going to look at what they're doing, and it's going to analyze that. And it will do the same with videos. So that's just 1 year. ChatGPT is significant.
Well, that's amazing. And there's just like so many different tentacles to this. You could go in a million different directions, at least. Maybe could you highlight for us ways that our company, Cohen-Esri, which is a real estate company focusing on multifamily, how are we using applications of artificial intelligence and or ChatGPT specifically?
I mean, there's a lot of other products similar to ChatGPT. They're also advancing very quickly. And so just basically machine learning in general, there's lots of ways we're using it right now. First of all, right out of the gate, 11 months ago, we started using it to help us produce marketing content. So we could take a list of amenities and maybe an address and some other details about the property, and then it could produce excellent social media posts for us, content for our brochures. We could revise it. We could just simply say, hey, this needs to be a little more casual, and then it reproduces it slightly more casual or maybe more polite. So we can modify it as we go. So that's one way we're using it. We also use it to produce digital marketing. So specifically, it generative AI can produce images now. There's a lot of products out there. ChatGPT is part of the DALL-E suite of products. So DALL-E 3 will produce images, text images, which you may have heard about, but it's spectacular. It can make photorealistic images. They look like somebody just went off and took a picture of somebody with a camera or something. It can produce logos. It can produce illustrations and paintings. We find ourselves not using stock art in our marketing anymore. I could scroll for quite a bit of time trying to find the perfect image for a particular flyer or brochure, but now I just tell these applications what I want, and it comes up with it, and then I might ask it to tweak it a bit till we get it perfect, and we're on our way. So we also use that in our development site. So our developers will maybe early stages of a site that they may want to build a building at, they may not want to engage architects yet, but they want to be able to show maybe a municipality or an investor some ideas. They'll use DALL-E 3 or Midjourney or some of the other ones to produce building renderings that they can kind of, and they can get very detailed of what kind of style they want, what kind of facade they want, what kind of elevation they want, and off they go. That's really accelerated our communication in early development phases. We can also use, we're also right now using AI in our Adobe suite. So Adobe has implemented these content-aware AI features directly into their products. So we can take a photograph, and it might have some leaves around a swimming pool. Now, every photographer in the real estate business knows how hard it is to get the area around a swimming pool free of weeds or leaves, or puddles, because they're unsightly. And you could spend hours in Photoshop trying to get rid of those. But with these new Adobe features that just came out in the last 2 months, you just say, hey, remove the leaves, and they're gone. And what's underneath those leaves? In the olden days, nothing. You would have had to have used some sort of stamp tool to try to redraw what would have been underneath those leaves, but it does it for you. It's spectacular. It can also do lighting in ways never before done. And one of the challenges with photography is you go into a unit and you're going to take a photo maybe of a 3-bedroom unit, and you're in there, you've got your lights. The challenge is that the light coming in from the window is almost always overexposed. So it looks way too bright. You can't see what's on the other side of that window. And your room is generally underexposed. And getting that right, well, photographers have a lot of techniques they've used over the years, and they're all time consuming. But with AI, you can auto-correct that lighting, where you can bring the exposure on the window down, but also not darken the room at the same time. And it has saved us literally many hours a week in photo shoot processing. It's really neat. So those coming from Adobe are wonderful. Oh, also lens distortion. So if you usually go out to a photo shoot with a wide angle lens so that you can get more of the room in the picture, but that also distorts the walls, it bends things around and kind of weird looking. And again, that can take a lot of time in Photoshop to correct. It will auto correct. They call that geometry. It's spectacular. But the real game changer in all of this is upscaling. So to create detail where none existed. So if you've got a bad photo, don't worry about it. Doesn't matter how crummy your camera is. You go into the Adobe suite, and it's going to look like you were using a $10,000 or $20,000 camera to do that shoot. It's amazing. That ability to take a low resolution, noisy or grainy image and make it look crisp and clean is amazing. And that's all generative AI in the background. Another way we're using it right now is data analysis. So we use a product called Knock that helps us track our prospects against our ad sources. So if we're marketing a property and we're trying to get a lease up or get that occupancy up, we're spending money to go get prospects, right? And apartments.com, Zillow, and other places. So when those prospects call, we want to know how well our leasing agents are doing and selling those units to those prospects. We spend money for the prospects. We don't want to waste that money. Well, Knock is using generative AI to analyze the phone calls. So it's listening to the actual voice recordings of those incoming calls. And then it's outputting reports that say, hey, your leasing agents aren't completing guest cards. They're not asking for name and contact information. They're not inviting prospects to take tours or whatever keyword we're looking for. It will analyze those phone calls and give us aggregate data, something that just simply wasn't possible. You would literally have to listen to every incoming voice call and start ticking off the kinds of things that leasing agent missed and then aggregate that data after. So generative AI is doing that for us right now. We're also in the process of using that same functionality to analyze our own surveys. So we send surveys out to all of our residents several times a year, and then we aggregate those results. But with generative AI, we can now analyze their comments and look for themes and patterns across our properties and property types. So we may say, hey, this is interesting for, properties in this market that are affordable or market rate. We see these kinds of patterns in the comments that our customers are telling us. So that's pretty neat. Here's another one, translation. Like, we want to be able to put on our websites and on our surveys Spanish, and depending on its location, maybe even other languages. before ChatGPT to produce a translation using some sort of automated system was very clunky. It didn't quite get it there. There's just too many complexities with English and other languages for machines to really get the translations right. But ChatGPT broke that, or I should say fixed it. Like now it's spectacular. I mean, we can take our translations from ChatGPT, give it to a native speaker, and to them, it's a perfect translation. So that's pretty neat. We're using that right now. Another game changer is programming. For about 8 months now, we've been using a Microsoft product called Copilot, which runs ChatGPT in its underbelly. Copilot, like, you know, if you're in Word or Google and you're writing something and it auto-completes the word or the sentence for you, Copilot's like that, except instead of like auto-completing the next piece of code, it auto-completes the next entire program or function or subroutine for you. Like, it's smart enough to go, oh, I see what you're doing. And then it just writes 70 lines of code for you. And then you might have to go back and tweak one or two items, but it got you 80, 90% there. And so it's really accelerated our programming team in how quickly they can write code, and also really neat how quickly it can test code. Like, you can take code that you wrote, import it into ChatGPT, and it will say, yeah, this code sucks. And it will rewrite it for you so it's more efficient and more effective. So that's pretty neat. I mentioned earlier that ChatGPT now has eyes, so that you can load images or videos into it and can analyze those. Well, that means that we can actually sketch out on a piece of paper a wireframe of, say, a landing page for a website. And we can take a picture of it, upload it to the ChatGPT app right on our phone, and it will produce the code to create that landing page, that just static HTML code based upon the sketch we produced. And that's like a great way for us to prototype very quickly, more quickly than ever before, and to do some proof of concept ideas. So we're really excited about that. We also use it to help us troubleshoot. Like, we have a help desk. So if people are like, hey, my PC won't boot up, or it's giving me this error. In the olden days, if we hadn't encountered that before, there's a lot of Googling to see if we can troubleshoot why that error is happening and how to fix it. ChatGPT will do that troubleshooting for us. Another neat thing back on the leasing side, this month we're deploying a product called Voice AI. And there's several competing products that are like it, but these are leasing agents. They sound like humans. If you configure them, if you want them to sound like humans, they'll sound exactly like humans, and they'll answer the phone. So if you're leasing agents away, they're out walking units, they're touring, before they would just get a voice message, prospects would. And, you know, when a prospect gets a voice message, they go to the next property down the list on Google and they call that property. We don't want that. We want them to connect. And so Voice AI allows them to ask any and all questions about that property, unit availability. They can schedule tours. They can ask questions, and Voice AI, these leasing agents will answer. And they're always pleasant, right? They're always, these leasing agents are really good at making prospects feel loved. So that's pretty neat. Similarly, we have these chatbots on our websites that are all driven by AI as well. Same idea as the virtual leasing agents. We also use it to produce training curriculum. That part's pretty exciting. I mean, what we can use ChatGPT to help us produce training outlines, training paths, and all the way down to the actual script for our training, which is great too. And you know, ChatGPT is really smart. So usually we just customize a little bit of what it produces and we're on our way. So those are some of the things we're working on. I mean, that's a long list and that's not exhaustive, but it's a good start anyway.
So Mark, what I think is really fascinating about this is that so much of it is a science and also an art, as you described in all these different initiatives that we're pursuing in ways that we're already using this sort of technology. It's really a blend of both. Ryan, I'm interested to hear from you. In what ways have you seen these projects impact our operations and how that compares to maybe the old school way of doing things?
Yeah, I mean, Mark outlined a lot of the what I'm going to call the results of AI. I would simplify it down to really its speed, its time, and its money. I mean, if you want to really boil down AI to what it's doing, it's allowing things to happen much quicker. An example that I'll give that he gave is in the training apparatus, right? If you think about training, you really have to research the topic, you have to draft a script, you've got to turn on the video, you've got to read the script, and all of that takes time. Today, you can literally load your content into AI, have it draft the script. You can tape your voice for 1 minute and then have it read the script, and you can pump content out almost instantaneously while you're doing that. You know, add to that, he said something very well, and that is it can produce PowerPoints in addition to its script. So just in the training apparatus itself, we can identify needs and really have training out the door pretty darn fast compared to the way it used to be in how things work. And you're going to see that across the business platform as AI matures. I mean, Mark will be the first one to tell you AI is really in its infancy. It is a game changer. I agree with him 100%. There's a lot of AI products out there that he always says not ready for prime time. And that's Mark's favorite phrase, and not ready for prime time simply means we're in an infancy part of this part of AI. It's not yet ready to be deployed. There's some bugs in it. A lot of the products are really buggy still. But you can see from all of his examples how this can be used in the business model. And it's really going to accelerate most businesses into the future, including the real estate field. There will always be a human element to real estate. It's about relationships. But in terms of the underlying work of the portfolio, it's going to be really amazing over time to see how AI morphs and changes.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think from a time perspective, this certainly could be very, very valuable, because even though, like you said, relationships are really the key to this business, like there are many other businesses, and I don't think a computer will ever replace relationships. Some of the like manual entry or analysis piece of things that can be done just as well, if not better, by technology, that could certainly allow us to do other things more efficiently and spend more time on other items. So Mark, we're going to wrap this up with a couple more questions. If you had a crystal ball, what would you envision the future of AI being? Are we going to get wiped out?
That's a great question. So I guess in the short term, which I'll see maybe in the next 12 months, what we're going to see is software producers are just now catching up and they're implementing the machine learning into their products. So in the next 12 months, up until now, there's been a lot of work done directly in ChatGPT, but in the next 12 months, we're going to see that functionality roll into everyday products that we use all over the place. So in the short term, we're going to see new features in Word and PowerPoint and Office documents. We're going to see new features on phone. Siri's going to get an upgrade, and all the other little assistants out there are going to get these massive upgrades. Our phone's going to behave a lot differently than it has in the past. This is just because it takes time for companies to adopt and start integrating with OpenAI and other similar products. Meta has one, and Google has one, and there's plenty of others out there as well. So we're going to see a lot of changes. In fact, we just noticed today while recording this podcast that Zoom came out with several new AI features. Well, we'll summarize your meeting. We'll analyze what was talked about in the meeting and summarize it for you. And Zoom has several others. So we're going to see more of that just show up in our everyday apps in the short term. There are some really innovative products that were deployed in the last 6 months. But as Ryan said, they weren't quite ready for prime time. They just weren't quite there yet. Some of them are transformational. There's a construction product coming out that will let you really do real-time what-if analysis on a site. How many parking spots do you need? How many units do you need? What's the mix of units of, say, affordable versus market rate or whatever? And it will real-time kind of redraw the building for you and then estimate all of those associated costs and schedule We analyzed such a product about 6 months ago, and it wasn't quite there. But I fully expect it to be all the way there in the next 12 months. And that's a major game changer if you're building apartment communities. So in the short term, we'll see a lot of this start to get integrated, right? Now, in the long term, this is where we need to learn to embrace our robot overlords.
Got it. Enough said. Yeah, understand that. And Ryan, how about any advice on these podcasts? Sometimes we share, you know, maybe some parting words of wisdom or things to think about for other real estate investors or sponsors. How would you encourage others to think through this or what to keep
in mind? Yeah, I mean, Mark's comment's funny, you know. But I guess what I would say is embrace change. I mean, it's here. It's a game changer. It can do a lot for your business model. Proceed with caution and do your due diligence. I mean, Mark is the first one to say he's our guru when it comes to this. He's researched tons of products. Don't think just because it's out there, it's working correctly and it's, quote, ready for prime time. There's a lot of really cool stuff that is coming online that really needs some time to mature. So if you see something you like, do your diligence, test it out, you know, try something new, but really look and make sure that technology is mature enough to do what you're asking it to do. Otherwise, you just kind of deploy it and let it go, and you're going to end up not where you want to be. But definitely, I think every business and every investor, every operator should embrace the AI because it's here. It's not going anywhere. It's just going to get more advanced as time goes. So I definitely would have those parting words for everybody.
Ryan, those are great parting words. Mark, thank you so much for your time. Sure shared a lot of great insights with me and with our audience. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you.